Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And I got some questions for Kerry Peck, too. He's that elder law attorney we talk to a lot here on WGN. Kerry, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm excellent, John. How are you? Hope you're well. Hope Brenda's well.
You're always excellent, Kerry. Do you ever have a bad day?
Everybody has bad days, but you just absolutely pound right through them.
You know, you are the kind of guy that does. We should all be more like Kerry Peck. I'm not sure what's on your mind today, Kerry, if there's some things relative to elder law you especially want to talk about. I know I've got some questions, and our listeners do, too. Anything you want to make sure we hear before I start telling you my problems?
Well, I just want your listeners to know that, you know, the Supreme Court of Illinois has created an elder law commission, and we are holding our first listening tour at Northwestern Memorial on April 25th from 2 to 4. So if you have listeners that believe that they have stories that the Supreme Court commission should hear regarding perhaps financial exploitation or issues that they perceive should be changed in the law, allowing seniors better access to the court system or due process for older adults, we'd like to hear from your listeners, and we'd like WGN to participate in any way you see fit to help us reach out to your listeners and get their opinions on how older adults can benefit from changes with access to the courtroom or changes in the law to prevent financial exploitation.
How do we tell you about that? How do you want us to communicate that to you?
You can have your folks call at 312-201-0900, or they can email me at kpeck, P-E-C-K, Richie, RITCHEY.com, kpeck at peckritchie.com. Peck Richie's one word.
Okay, I'll repeat all of that at the end of this conversation. If you have a question about or know of some abuse that's taking place, this is the guy that the state of Illinois has charged to figure it all out. Hooray. So my mom didn't fall. My mom's in rehabilitation right now, Kerry. She's in a rehabilitation facility. She's trying to get strong enough so that she can go back to the senior living apartment that she's in with my dad. But she's living in a rehabilitation facility right now. And it's a nice place, and there are nice people there. And I don't think she's getting much rehabilitation. And I'll bet there's plenty of people who have fallen and they broke a hip, or they broke their leg or their elbow, and now they're in a rehabilitation place. And they say, we're going to rehab them and get them strong enough so that they can resume their life. And I think the government or insurance is paying a lot of money to keep those people there. And I think that the living conditions there are terrible. I'm not sure that a person gets stronger when they're just lying in a bed or sitting parked in a chair waiting for their half hour of rehabilitation today. The food's not great, the interaction isn't great, and they're not moving about at all except for their little half hour that miraculously is going to make them stronger while the facility holds them and takes the money. This sounds cynical, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know what else we have as an option. But I just see so many people. I've been to these places a lot lately, and it's alarming to me how inefficient this is. And again, Kerry, I think that there's a financial motivation to keep the people in those places, but they're not getting stronger in there. And so we said, well, how about we take her out of here and transfer to a place that we think would have a better rehabilitation? They said, oh, no, you can't do that. She's got to be, if we discharge her, she'll be discharged to a hospital. And then a hospital have to evaluate her and then, you know, decide that she's going to go someplace else. I guess what I'm telling you is it's frustrating to see how some of these decisions are out of our hands. Okay, that's my little woe. What do you hear in there, Kerry? What do you want to say about all that?
Well, what I want to say is aging in America is no picnic. And the reality is that we haven't put in place a system, nor allocated the appropriate sums of money for older adults to get better care than your mother is getting. The story that you tell, John, is the story of you know, all people that, you know, have falls and go into rehabilitation and don't like the food and it's regrettably the picture that's painted across the landscape. How do we change it?
Yeah, that's my question.
I think we have to change it by older adults getting more involved in politics. Older adults that vote need to get involved in electing officials, state officials, federal officials, that are responsive to the needs of older adults. And, this relates all the way back. The underlying issue here, John, is the healthcare system. What kind of healthcare system do we have in terms of providing older adults the healthcare? Medicare / private insurance. And as you point out, there's a financial incentive for all of this in terms of a structure. But there's no magic bullet here. We can't come up with an easy solution. I think that the older adult community needs to get in the face of politicians to change policy for the benefit of the older adults and not the people that are making money.
I'm at least gratified that my parents have transferred power of attorney for medical and financial decisions to their adult children. So we're able to make some of these decisions for them. It's interesting too, Carrie, I know you know this, but my parents will come in and out of mental acuity. There are periods of time when they're conversant and able to make the most complicated decisions, and other times where they think there's people in the room and they aren't. And it's weird to see them sort of flow in and out of this. And at times when they are mentally aware, they could argue with you about a decision, but we have power of attorney. Do we trump them in that case, Carrie? Does our decision carry more weight than theirs?
Well, the answer is it depends, unfortunately. But the question, John, is are those powers of attorney effective today, immediately? Could mom and dad sign powers of attorney that say, John or your sibling can make decisions? Or does the power of attorney become effective only after mom and or dad is deemed incapable of making decisions based upon a doctor certification? So at the end of the day, the document really will tell us. Your listeners have a choice. When you sign a power of attorney for health care or a power of attorney for property, we have two types here in Illinois. Those are the types. Power of attorney for health care, clear designation, medical decisions, power of attorney for property, financial management. You are asked in the document, is this effective immediately, or does it require a doctor certification to become effective? And I think that there's an ongoing struggle between, your mom and your dad and whoever holds that power of attorney in terms of whose decision outweighs the other.
And by the way, get a load of this, Carrie. I don't know the answer to your question, which just goes to show how, I guess, complicated this is or how ready some of us aren't on these sorts of things. I don't know if, in fact, they've already signed power over to us or if it's pending. Does it always need a doctor to sort of validate the transfer of power of attorney?
It does not. If I give you my power of attorney and day I sign it, I note it's effective immediately, then you're in charge.
Okay. We got some phone calls for you, Carrie. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's Carrie Peck. He's the elder law attorney that you hear about on WGN Radio a lot. PeckRitchie.com is the website. And that phone number he gave, if you or someone you know is being abused or if you've got questions or you want to report some sort of elder abuse, the number you can call is 312-201-0900. Okay, 312-981-7200 is our phone number to call or text. 312-981-7200. Hey, John Williams, it's horrific. I went through the same thing with my parents. It's this country's dirty little secret. Care should not be profit-driven. John, we went through the same thing with my dad. John, I understand the frustration with elder health care. My dad was in a nursing home. It was near my house. I went there every day. I think the person needs an advocate to make sure that things are as they should be. Otherwise, they're at the mercy of someone else who may have no mercy. It's sad. And you know, Carrie, the people that have been working with my mom are really nice people. I think they're just understaffed, and the system isn't set up to get people stronger. That's my lament. I know you've touched on that, but I just wanted to say that again.
Well, I think you're right, John. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's a tremendous scenario that doesn't work for your parents, doesn't work for your listeners, loved ones, and it's something that we need to address as a society. We need to change promptly. Yeah.
So, Mom, if you're listening, exercise your legs so you can get stronger and get out there, Mom. Do some exercises right now. I just got a call from one of her caretakers. Hey, we're listening. And I went, oh! let's talk to Kay. Kay, you're on WGN. Hi, Kay. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And my sister-in-law is suffering from dementia. She had a very bad fall in January, taken to a local hospital, transferred to Loyola for some surgery and care. From there, at the end of January, she was sent to a rehab facility.
Yeah.
And she has dementia. Her son, my brother passed away years ago, her son is a double amputee below the knee. She was in the nursing home for about 6-7 weeks at the most. Well, they sent her home. They wouldn't really tell him why. They gave him a bill for $13,000. Now, at home, like I said, he's a double amputee in a wheelchair, and she will not take her meds. She won't listen to him, nothing. So I'm like, why did you get a bill? Medicare should have covered the first 100 days. She was taken right from a facility deemed unfit to care for herself and needed rehab. So why were you sent? Why was she sent home?
Yeah,
you know, it's just a real mess. And
hold on, Kay. Is that your question though for Carrie?
Yeah. Why would she have been sent home and then him given a bill?
Well, I can't tell you why she was sent home. She should not have been given a bill. But the healthcare system has created a kind of a phraseology. They talk, you know, language that none of us really understand, and that is to the extent that they probably concluded that she wasn't improving, to talk flat-out English.
Yep.
And if she wasn't improving, then they discharged her. But clearly you're correct. Medicare should have paid, and you should consider contesting that bill.
Okay. Good luck to you on that, Kay. I wanted to read this text message too, Carrie. My mother-in-law passed away, and my sister-in-law has power of attorney. All the bills were paid for my mother-in-law's checking account. My mother-in-law's passed away, but now my sister-in-law is spending the remainder of the money on herself. It was supposed to be divided equally amongst the siblings. Any advice, Carrie?
Well, we need to find out how that account was titled. Many people put a daughter or a son on their accounts when they get up in age, in a joint tenancy account. And
yeah,
joint tenancy account, of course, is A and B. Clearly, the money was put in a joint tenancy account. The problem here, John, is it's presumed to be a gift. But that gift can be offset by an argument that it was for convenience purposes only, and the mother-in-law put somebody's name on it just to pay bills. So depending on how much money there is, you probably need to consult an attorney to get some good advice.
But just as a technical matter, if you and I share a checking account and you pass away, that's my money then? I don't have to share it with my siblings?
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, okay, because I think that's a very common scenario where one of the siblings says, all right, put me on the account and then I'll have access to mom or dad's assets and I'll move them around or write the checks, pay the bills. But if there's a rift then between the kids, that... If you got to get in front of that, right, Carrie?
You have to get in front of it, John. And the problem is that the law would presume that putting somebody's name on, typically dad dies, mom puts one of the kids' names on. And then when mom dies, the battle ensues amongst all the children whose name wasn't on it.
That's great.
So, again, you need to determine whether it was for convenience or it was a gift. And, you know, those are the legal doctrines applicable to that situation.
Man, I never thought about that. 260 says, does Carrie Peck's office work outside of Illinois? Are you licensed outside of the state?
Florida and Illinois.
Okay, so move to Florida if you're not in Illinois. Let's talk to Rhonda. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Rhonda? You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to give a perspective on several different levels. My mother, God bless her, was a saint. She worked in long-term care as a nurse for decades. She could have done anything, but she did that. I've also worked in long-term care, so I've been on that side of it, but I've also had family members in senior living and that type of thing. So I wanted to give a little bit of advice. My mother was big on these wise sayings. So one thing would be the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yep.
Another saying would be you'll get more flies with honey than with vinegar. So yep. Those might sound kind of trite, but what I'm trying to say is when you work in long-term care, as my mom did and as I did, you don't always get a lot of respect. You deal with a lot, not only from the residents or patients, but from families and from doctors. You're underpaid. You're overworked. I was working night shift, and I had 30 patients. I was the only nurse. I had a male colleague.
Hold on. I have less than a minute left, and you know, it's
okay. What I'm trying to say is when you're going to try to work with staff, like whether it's physical therapy, be nice, be respectful,
yeah.
Be assertive, you know, but you're not going to get anywhere by, not that you would, but some people are aggressive or rude. Some people are just
nonchalant. No, you're making such an interesting point, and I'll let Carrie have the last word on this, but I'm so glad you called, Rhonda, because you worry that if you advocate too strenuously for your mom or dad, then the place is going to get mad, and then they'll say, screw it, we don't even like these people. So then you treat them with honey, and then it's like, but things aren't all good, y'all, so I need you to step it up. So it's a real delicate dance we're doing out here, Carrie.
It's a delicate dance, John, and you indicated we have a minute left. So we welcome your calls from your listeners to Carrie Peck, Peck Ritchie, 312-201-0900. Initial consultation at no cost, and we look forward to working with you.
And remember,
thank you very much, John.
Yep, it's good to hear you, Carrie. Thanks for your advice and thoughts, and particularly remember now, if you know of elder abuse, Carrie is chairing a commission set up by the state Supreme Court on this, so he's interested in business. He's also just interested in hearing your stories. 312-201-0900.